You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
We may live over 5,000 miles from Lincoln Financial Field, but what we lack in proximity, we make up for in the film study. And each and every week, we will be bringing you in-depth film breakdowns from across the pond and the Sooner State. Welcome to On the Shane Page. I am your host, Shane Half, and you can follow me on Twitter at ShaneHalfNFL. I'm joined by BGN's own film guru, Johnny Page. Give him a follow on Twitter at JohnnyPage9. Johnny, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing very well. We've actually had a little bit of a break. I know it doesn't sound like we have because we were here last week. We weren't actually here last week. We recorded the week before. So it's been quite nice. For all my other sports fans, English sports fans out there, I stayed up till far too late yesterday to watch Arsenal win the penalty shootout. And it was the most stressful thing I've done in probably since he was in the Super Bowl, actually. It was horrible. I started to question my existence of why I like sports so much. But then you win and you realize why you love it so much. And Monday was brilliant as well. Like, free agency was awesome this year. I don't know what happened. I don't know why there were so many good players out there. But yeah, it's been a really good week. I've been busy as hell. I'm trying to watch far too many players. I was saying to you off air, I was like, I'm not going to watch Devontae Parker. And then I get like three tweets from people like, tell me what's wrong with Devontae Parker. And I'm like, oh no, don't make me watch these players. But yeah, it's going to be a busy couple of weeks. But this is like, this is as good as it gets. If you're not breaking down actual like playing the games for the season, the off season, it doesn't get any better than free agency. Like, I think the draft is awesome. But I like the fact I can actually watch NFL film. Like, I'm going to be honest, I prefer watching NFL film to college film because I know what I'm watching. It's really easy for me to say, oh, I know who he's playing against. He's playing against an actual left tackle. So I can judge players so much easier. There's so much less projection involved. So I love it. It's an awesome week. So yeah, this week's been good. Busy as hell, but really interesting. I get the feeling the twists are gonna keep coming this week as well. Not just with the Eagles. I think there's going to be a few big moves towards the end of the week. So yeah, how are you doing? Except for me waffling on about how good and crazy this week has been.
Yeah, I'm doing good. House remodel is, we're getting closer to the end. Right now, all three of my kids are crammed in one bedroom, and we're in the other bedroom that is a kid's bedroom because we're currently down bedroom, bathroom, and living room. But hopefully, not next week, but hopefully 2 weeks from now, I will be in my new little office. I won't have drywall up yet, but I'll take down the background in 2 weeks and you can just see insulation hanging out of the walls, but it'll be in an office. There will be no construction noises. It'll be great. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to digging into some NFL free agency. Shout out to everybody that listened to this podcast last week, where we talked about if the Eagles should keep or cut Avante Maddox and Kevin Byard after the moves that already happened. You guys are the best. And again, if you are listening, enjoying the show, whether you're on a podcasting platform or on YouTube, those 5-star ratings and reviews are much appreciated. Comments on YouTube, we love to interact with you guys as we're able to. So I really appreciate you guys for that. But enough of that. Enough of telling the fans how much we like them. Let's start talking about these players and how much we do or don't like them. So we're going to sort of split free agency into two different podcasts. We're going to deal with, for sure, Saquon Barkley and Bryce Huff today, maybe get into the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson re-signing, and we'll probably circle back to the extensions, Landon Dickerson, Jake Elliott, and the new players like Devontae Parker next week. So that's sort of the tentative plan. We won't be mentioning everyone today. But we're going to start off with the first move that the Eagles made. It's the biggest move that the Eagles made, and it was signing edge rusher Bryce Huff from the New York Jets for 3 years, $51.1 million. That is $17 million average annual value. We do not yet have contract details for how that plays out, but I would assume that there's not much of an out in that contract. You're pretty much going to be locked into that one. So Johnny, talk to me about Bryce Huff. And those of you that are watching on YouTube, I'm going to roll. This is a clip of every sack last season and a few pressures. If you're listening on a podcasting platform, go to my Twitter. I've got it out on there. But we're not going to necessarily specifically reference it. Just something in the background here while we talk about our initial thoughts on Bryce Huff.
Oh, well, this is a challenge. I've got to try and talk and not be distracted by the wonderful pass rushing reps that I'm watching. So I'll tell you what I do, Shane. I have watched, I mean, it depends. Different people say things in different detail. I've watched 5 full games, like full disclosure. For me, I think that's a good sample size. I didn't pick any games in particular. I didn't pick games of sacks. I literally just downloaded 5 random games where he played quite a lot of snaps. And I tried to evaluate him. And obviously then I watched the videos like everyone else of all of his sacks. So this is where I'm at, and I'd be interested to see how you feel about this. I'm pretty much there. This is like a preview of my BGN article. It is the first one that will come out. This is like how I view him, and we have not spoken about this player off air at all. So I'm interested to see if we see it similarly. So firstly, let's go strengths first. From a pure film perspective, there is not many players with the same level of burst as he does. If you just watch him like fly out of his stance, it's pretty absurd. Like if you're watching the screen now and you're seeing all these sacks, it's all to do with his burst. Like it's all the first 5 yards. However, what I was pleasantly surprised by is he's not just speed. He seems to have a plan when he rushes offensive tackles. He seems like he has an idea of what to do. He has really, really quick hands. He can get off blocks really well. He also has a really good speed to power rush. I think quite a few of the clips you'll see on here, he can sort of jolt, I use that word, like offensive linemen. They almost like jump when he hits them. And he's not a big guy. So he must really generate some power. I think you've got a clip we'll show later of him against Rashawn Slater. And he really does move him. Like the guy almost jumps in the air. I don't think he's a particularly strong ball rusher because he's not big, but he really can like stun them almost, knock them back. The thing that I like the most, and it links to our discussion of Reddick and Sweat. And I'm going to be honest, I saw so much of Sam Reddick in Bryce Huff in so many different ways. He's a really good finisher. So he's not just someone who gets pressures. He's also someone who turns him into sacks. And he does that because same way that Reddick does it, he wins really quickly. We spoke about this a lot on the Reddick versus Sweat episode. Sweat wins when you look at the stats pressure-wise, but he doesn't win quickly. So he doesn't often turn him into sacks. Whereas when Reddick wins, it almost always ends up in a sack. And that's the same with Bryce Huff. As well as that, I think he's really good at redirecting, like short area quickness, short area bursts. If the quarterback tries to run past him, he can turn on a dime. He can like tackle very easily, even when he's not in a great position to do so. He seems to have a really good knack of where the quarterback is. So short area quickness, athleticism, really, really impressed me. His pressure rate was absurd in 2023. I think he was like second in the NFL, but he was also really good in 2022. So he's not just a one-year wonder at all. Before I keep waffling, Shane, that is what I had for my strengths. I don't know how much you've watched Huff yourself as well. Is there anything just strength-wise that you feel like I've missed there that you would like to mention? And actually, I'll throw one more thing in there. And this is going to be a controversial take, I think. And I like being a little bit different if I can. I was relatively impressed with his run defense last year. He just didn't ever do it. Like, and I don't know how to put that into context. But when I watched him, I watched 5 full games. And I really watched him going, wow, he got moved. And I watched him play the Eagles. They didn't have Lane Johnson, but he did line up against Jordan Mailata. He did have a good right guard and Jason Kelce out there. And I never watched him in run defense and thought, oh my God, he can't do it. Like, this is not part of his game. So weirdly, I was more impressed with his ability against the run. However, full disclosure, giant asterisks, he just didn't do it very much. Before we get any deeper, because I can go into a little bit more detail on weaknesses as well, because I think there's quite a few there, if I'm honest, not to sound negative. But is there any other positives, anything that you feel like I didn't hit on that you wanted to throw out there?
On the run defense that you just mentioned, feeling like he didn't do it much, I charted all this out. Let me rephrase that. I gathered all these stats and put it into a chart. Out of 88 qualifying edge rushers, which to qualify, you had to have at least 200 pass rushing snaps. He ranked 86th in run defensive snaps played. So your predilection's right. Only 2 edge rushers faced run plays less frequently than Bryce Huff. I'm going to call him Josh Huff so many times on podcasts. It's going to be obnoxious. But so he wasn't tasked with defending the run a lot. And you can look at his pressure rate and you can say, well, maybe his pressure rate's so high because he's just told disregard the run entirely because you're coming out on 3rd and 12. And if they run it, we don't care. So there's probably some elements of that. And that's one of those things. And I use this example all the time, but people said Dallas Goedert coming out of college couldn't run block because he never did it at North Dakota State. He's a fantastic run blocker. He was just never asked to. And so is Bryce Huff has reps that look bad against the run on film. Is it because he's being told your job is to rush the passer? We do not care about your run defense. Maybe. I don't know. There's some reps where he looks good against the run. There's some reps where he looks really bad. I guess I'm kind of getting into the weaknesses here, but he is a light player at 255 pounds. For comparison, Josh Sweat's 265. Hassan Reddick is 240. I don't think he's great against the run, but you mentioned his get off. His get off is elite. I feel like he explodes off the line of scrimmage. He's got great snap timing and he hits that top speed quickly. Per Next Gen Stats, he had the sixth fastest get off in the NFL in 2023, which is time from the snap to crossing the line of scrimmage at 0.748 seconds. And in 2022, he actually ranked number one in that. And so it's a consistent thing. His get off is fast. And I just think he's not just a speed rusher. He has so many pass rush moves that he chains together so well. And I've got a clip that I want to show here in a little while that really demonstrates that.
Show it now. Do it. Let's do the strengths, then go to the weaknesses. If we've got a little bit of film to back it up. Sorry, put you on the spot. Just do it, Shane. Just assume you have everything ready. Look at it. He's always got everything ready. Yeah, you can explain this one because this one's awesome.
Yeah, so this one is on my Twitter if you're listening on audio platform, but this is against the Patriots. And I'm just going to run it once and then you watch and we'll come back and talk about it here. But it's just such a good move. And so I think what's happening here is the running back, number 15, is supposed to be chipping on Bryce Huff. And so the left tackle sets to take away the inside because when a chip comes, he's going to knock the guy inside. If you're not ready for that, he'll just spin off of the chip and make an inside move. And so Bryce Huff fakes like he's going to go inside right there. And so the running back lets him go. And then he like Euro steps back outside and then ghosts under the left tackle. It's just an incredible pass rush rep. This was my favorite one that I saw of him on film. You can see like there's two moves there to set up that ghost move. And so it's not just a speed rush off the edge. It's having a pass rush plan and like recognizing right off the snap, like I'm going to get chipped. Here's my plan to beat that. It's incredible.
Shane, the dip is awesome in that clip. Like, I'm not big for like fundamentals. I'm not a coach. I'm much more of a scheme guy, of an individual like player. Like, I'm not a defensive edge coach, let's put it that way. But the way he gets low there is awesome. Like, that is good. And I didn't see him as much of a, it's hard to explain without sounding wrong. I didn't see him as a bend the edge guy that much. I didn't see like freaky flexibility. It's a little bit straight liney. It doesn't matter when you do it like that. It simply doesn't matter when you rush like that. Yeah, I think they were the main strengths. So I feel like we're pretty much on the same page. I feel like he's quite an obvious player to watch. I will be honest. I always do like strengths and weaknesses. I do have more weaknesses than maybe I thought I would have. And I think that's why he's such an interesting player. So I just sort of put them down as I'm watching, I put these down. And then I ended up like collating them at the end. And I'm like, oh, it looks quite long. It looks like quite a negative article. I didn't mean it to be. But in terms of like straight up weaknesses, so number one, I do not care what single person online says. I'm a very rational fan. This is a projection. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you say. And he might be brilliant. And don't say, I told you he was going to be great because I think he'll be great too. But it doesn't matter. It is a projection. Quite simply, we don't know how he's going to handle playing more snaps. Like, no one knows what playing more snaps will do to you. Josh Sweat got less productive if he played more snaps. It is simply harder. The mental fatigue, the physical fatigue. He just does not play a great deal. So I think last year, you mentioned his run defense snaps, which is incredibly low. He played about 480 last year. Sweat played 828. Reddick played 862. That's a huge difference. It's not just a huge difference physically, but also mentally. Also, offensive tackles, having an idea of what you're going to do. When I was watching his tape, Shane, basically first down, I'm just skipping. You know what it's like when you watch NU 22. You just press next and you skip 10 seconds. Every single time it's first down, I'm just skipping. He's barely ever on the field. The second I see a failed first pass or a short run that doesn't go anywhere, I then stop because I know he's coming on second and third and long. He got so many advantageous pass rushing looks. Like, he was on a lot on third and 10, third and 12, third and 13. Like, there's a lot of advance in his game. In terms of, like, the boring stuff, like, that's boring, talking about the snaps he played, because who cares? In terms of actual weaknesses from him himself, I think he's quick rather than fast. So I think you want that from an edge defender anyway, but I didn't see like the kind of player that's going to chase down mobile quarterbacks on the edge. There was a snap he had of Russell Wilson where he's like chasing him and he doesn't really get any faster. Like he can hit top speed in the first like two steps, which is almost like insane, but he doesn't then like have another gear. I think quarterbacks can run away from him and I think running backs can run away from him on the backside. This is something maybe I just simply didn't watch enough of, and I would assume the Eagles have more faith because they must have watched more than I did. But I didn't see a lot of coverage reps. I don't know if you've got numbers on coverage reps we can get into after, but I didn't see a lot. And he got beat by Barkley, which was quite cool because I could tweet it out. But he didn't actually have many coverage reps at all. And I think the Eagles will ask him to do that more.
He only had 13 coverage reps.
Yeah, I thought so. I saw someone tweet something about how he was like the main guy in coverage. And I was like, I've watched, it's not in the games I've watched. Just didn't do it, which I think is really interesting. And this is a bit of a bigger picture point, but he strikes me as more of a Howie guy than more of a Fangio guy. I think he fits the Eagles' organizational philosophy towards rushing the quarterback better than he does fit a Fangio edge. It's just my personal opinion, but I might be wrong in that. The other things I mentioned was he's often rushing the quarterback from such a wide angle because he's playing on obvious passing downs. So he gets to come at like a really wide angle consistently, and that gives him time to build up that speed to power. I don't think he's going to get that as often when he's rushing on first down, for example, on first and 10. He's not going to be as wide as he was. And my other weakness goes into that. Because he was rushing from such a wide angle, you do see times when he just completely gets caught upfield, like he overruns the play and the quarterback can run sort of quite easily, step up and run past him. And I did see that once. I tweeted out a clip actually of Mahomes doing that to him last year. So overall, like I really, really like the signing. They needed a new pass rusher. I think he's going to be a very, very good pass rusher. I think he'll be a very good player. I think he'll handle run defense better than people think. I don't think Hassan Reddick was ever a great run defender, and I think the Eagles can get away with it. I'm interested if they can get away with all three of them. Like Reddick, Huff, and Smith seems incredibly light. So I would assume that Reddick is still going to go, but if Sweat goes, I don't really know what happens there. I just think the biggest question mark is simply snaps, and it's a boring talk to have because we don't know the answer until we see it next year, but he is going to have 15 to 20 more snaps a game. And it's not just that, it's where he takes the snaps. He's going to have to play on first and 10. He barely ever played on first and 10. He's going to have to rush the quarterback on third and four, third and five, not on third and 10 and third and 12. That changes your game. So as good as I think he is, I think there's a reason why he wasn't like an elite contract, because he simply doesn't have the film to back it up. It is a little bit of a projection that the Eagles are taking. But at the end of the day, unless you're going to play top dollar for the really, really, really elite guys, you're going to have to take a risk. They took a risk with Reddick and it worked perfectly. And I think this will have a similar outcome. My only concern is how he fits with the broader picture in terms of Reddick and Smith still there. And also, as again, just the increased number of snaps. But overall, I really like him. He's such a fun player to watch. Eagles fans are going to love him because he'll get a sack in the first couple of weeks where he just blows past on offensive linemen. And he's not just a quick guy. He does have more to his game. Before we look at some stats, is there anything you wanted to add to that? I feel like I covered him pretty comprehensively, but you might feel like anything I missed.
Yeah. On his snap percentages, he played 32.9% of his snaps on first down, 22.7% on second down, and 44.3% of his snaps were on third down last year. So tremendously skewed towards third down. Played some on first down when it's just, hey, go rush the passer anyways. But he, like you said, he's not on the field much on second downs, particularly in any sort of second and medium when it's a running down. That 481 snaps he played last year was a career high. And people have pointed to, you know, the leap in snaps that Josh Sweat took and how he fell off. And the thing that I don't think people realize is Josh Sweat played almost 600 snaps in 2022. He played 655 snaps in 2021. So like, this is a player that's played remarkably less than Josh Sweat did. He's going to have to play more snaps. When you go and you get a guy and you pay him $17 million, he is not a situational pass rusher anymore. He has to play more snaps, and he's thrived as a situational pass rusher. That allows him to be fresh. It allows him to come in on third and 15 and tee off on an opposing offensive tackle and not have to worry about the run. And so, you know, there's risk in this deal. He had 10 sacks and 67 pressures last year. He only had 7.5 sacks and 67 pressures in the previous 3 years combined. Now, it is worth mentioning, he was a UDFA who didn't play a lot of snaps. And so he has developed tremendously as a player since he was a UDFA 4 years ago. You know, he's got a good work ethic. He's really honed in the pass rushing portion of his game. And he said in an interview before that he really want, wherever he went, he wanted to be a three down player. And so you would assume if he's going to attack being a run defender with the same, you know, intensity he attacked developing as a pass rusher, he should certainly be able to do that. However, you know, it's worth mentioning that development's not linear. And just because he has gotten that much better over the last few years doesn't mean he will continue that trajectory. So we'll see on that. One other clip that I wanted to show, though, before I get into stats, and this is to show he's got, it's not just speed, but he can go, it's not really a bull rush, but he can set up speed to power really well. And so, you know, on the screen here, you see him going against Rashawn Slater, and the clip's not playing, which is just fantastic podcasting. So maybe I'll try to refresh that page in a second, but he goes up against Rashawn Slater, who I don't know how much your random Eagles fan watches other NFL teams. Rashawn Slater is a very good left tackle. He had like a 9.7 relative athletic score. So he's an elite athlete. He's got elite movement skills. He was 91st percentile on the bench press, and just speed to power just gets wrecked by Bryce Huff here. And so when you have the ability to attack the edge the way that Huff does, you don't have to have a bull rush if you can convert speed to power against a guy like that. And so, you know, he's got all the tools that he needs as a pass rusher. It's just about if he'll be able to sustain that over more volume. And, you know, we'll see if he's able to do that. Brandon Thorne, who, if you guys aren't following Brandon Thorne, you should be. He's kind of the resident guru on Twitter for all things trench play. And he, every year he goes and charts out, it's like the top 40 pass rushers. And he develops a true pressure score and a true sack score. And he basically grades all of the pressures and the sacks as low quality, high quality, and rare high quality. And so, you know, for example, Hassan Reddick beating a backup tight end in the NFC Championship game last year and hitting Brock Purdy, that'd be a low quality win. It's a tight end, right? Versus beating Lane Johnson off of the edge, that's going to be high quality, or maybe rare high quality if you do it instantly. In 2023, Bryce Huff was fifth in snaps per high-quality pressure at 11.3. So every 11.3 snaps, he had a high-quality pressure. Micah Parsons, Miles Garrett, Dexter Lawrence, and Chris Jones were the only guys ranked ahead of him. And so this is a guy who can, he can feast on good tackles. It's just if he'll be able to do that down in and down out.
Yeah, it's literally it. It's really boring analysis, isn't it? But it is literally it. It's just, can he do it with a larger sample size? Like, when he plays more? And it's not even that his body can't handle it. It's just that we don't know what it will do to him. It doesn't even mean that he couldn't do it at the Jets. The Jets just had lots of players to rotate. Like, it's just a projection. I'm looking at your lovely stats here as well. Like, the ones that stood out to me when I saw this fancy graphic as well was obviously the sacks ranking. Having 10 sacks, like 3.5 more than Josh Sweat, one less than Reddick, despite rushing the quarterback nearly 200 times less, is pretty absurd. A 3.4 sack rate. The pressures are interesting once again, like ranking basically the same. And that's because his pressure success rate is so high. I mentioned how crazy high it was in 2023. He ranked second, but I think he was also extremely high in 2022.
You can check me on this. I believe he is second each of the last 2 years behind Micah Parsons.
Yeah, interesting, interesting. And then it's just, as you mentioned, the run defense snaps is just incredibly low. He's a really good, like, he's a really interesting signing. I think the Eagles needed something different at edge, so I'm all for it. Could I just ask, what do you think of the Reddick and Sweat rumors at the moment as well? Do you think they both go, or do you think Reddick's going to end up staying if it appears Sweat is gone? Do you share a similar concern that Reddick, Huff, and Nolan Smith is a little light for a trio of edge defenders?
Yeah. So the thing, when I went to college, Johnny, they told us during our orientation, they said, college, there's a lot of things on the table. You can get good sleep. You can make good grades. You can have good friends. Pick two out of the three, right? You can't do it all. And that's sort of how I feel here. Like, you can have light edge rushers, you can play light boxes, and you can have bad linebackers. Pick two out of the three. And right now, the Eagles have all three. They've got tremendously light edge rushers. They have absolutely no one at linebacker. And they, as far as we know, I mean, Vic Fangio is pretty devoted to playing light boxes pre-snap. And so, to me, one of those things has to change. And I don't think you're changing Fangio's scheme. And I don't think you're bringing in another edge rusher. And so to me, the only way to make it mesh is you've got to go get some guys at linebacker. Because if you're not going to put a safety in the box, if you, and even if the Eagles move off of Sweat or Reddick, you're still really light at edge rusher. So to me, the domino that has to fall, they've got to have a plan at linebacker. And, you know, we'll see what that turns into. But I just think, if they don't, if you don't go get a linebacker, you're either going to have to put a safety in the box, or you're just going to get gashed in the running game.
And no pressure, Jordan Davis, but if they're lining up with Smith and Huff on early downs, you better be an absolute monster next year, Sam, because the linebackers at the moment, unless they find a gem, are going to be light as well. So I do find that a little bit interesting, if I'm honest. I do find that like the combination. I'd almost make more sense if Reddick goes at this point, because I'll be honest, I just saw a lot of Reddick in Huff. If you want to know
but it
more
sounds
about Huff,
like yeah I'm with you on that, but it does sound like the Eagles are moving much more towards getting rid of Josh Sweat, which really surprises me. I think I can't remember who it was that suggested that Sweat could even be cut.
That just
doesn't make any sense to me at all. And obviously he had the injury concerns coming out, and we haven't seen that in the NFL, but unless there's something internally that we don't know about, like his knee has got tremendous problems, we don't think he can make it through a season, which you wouldn't think was the case because they played him 800 snaps last year. Like, we talked about how much he was playing. So I don't understand what's going on there. That doesn't make sense to me. You absolutely should not cut Josh Sweat for anything on field or salary cap related. He's under a pretty reasonable deal this year, but I do think the Brian Burns trade killed the edge trade market because the Panthers just colossally mismanaged that whole situation. To me, if I can't get a top 60 pick, I would have said like top 45 pick, but if I can't get a top 60 pick for Josh Sweat, I'm not moving him. I would play him next year and then let him walk in free agency. But I'm not sure what's going to happen there. It's just bizarre what's going on with that to me.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if they played him a lot last year knowing he might go, almost like wearing down, like Cowboys DeMarco Murray style. I don't know. The only other thing I would say, Shane, is if it is going to be Fangio and they're going to more of a sort of five-man front style look, Josh Sweat is the one that cannot drop. Like, Reddick can't drop well. Bryce Huff, I'm not sure, can drop well. And I don't think Nolan Smith can drop well, which isn't ideal. But I'm not sure any good edge pass rushers can really drop well, but they can drop. I'm not sure Sweat can actually drop at all. Like, I just don't think he should really do it at all, like ever. I don't think he's a body type or fit at all.
Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Should we have a pass rusher? We need to get in Saquon Barkley, don't we? Because time is against us. And this is one of the most cool signings, I feel like. Just like, if you love sports, like, why the hell would you not want this to happen? We can put our, like, fan hat away and actually analyze the signing in a bit, but just like gut reaction, it was awesome when I saw it come up. I just thought it was like really, really, really cool. But yeah, talk to me about Saquon Barkley, Shane. What do you think? Money, faults, overall fit, except for the fact it's just really fun.
Well, about an hour and a half before that news broke, Connor Hughes tweeted that the Eagles and Texans were both involved in Saquon Barkley at $10 million plus. And I said, I don't believe for a second that Howie Roseman is in negotiations to pay a running back $10 million. Which people tried to old takes expose me on that. And I was like, hey, listen, I didn't say there's no chance it's happening. I just said, I don't believe it. It happened. Now I believe it. But I was shocked. Like my jaw hit the floor on the Saquon Barkley deal when that was announced. Now, so it's 3 years, $37.75 million, which is an average annual value of $12.6 million. We do have that. This is the only contract we really have the broken down numbers for at this point. And so I tweeted this out. It's up on the screen, but it's $3.9 million will be his cap hit in 2024. It'll be $13.5 million in 2025. And then 2026 is $15.5 million. He will not be on the roster at that in 2026. They can cut him after the 2025 season for $8.4 million in dead cap. And they could split that out further into $3.8 million in 2026 and $4.6 million in 2027 if they used a post-June 1. And so essentially, I would view this as Barkley is on a two-year deal. He'll make $4 million in 24, $13.5 million in 25, and then he would count $8.4 million in dead cap after that deal is over. So that's kind of the nerdy contract stuff. You look at this signing and we could talk about the value of running backs and we can talk about a lot of different things. At the end of the day, Saquon Barkley is a really good football player and he makes the Eagles offense better. And so he's going to be a tremendously fun player to watch. I was surprised how he did this move. And you know, a lot of people were saying, well, it's really split. Some people were really excited. Some people were very not happy about the Saquon Barkley signing. I think the people that are against it is all about value. And, you know, I certainly trust Howie on the value stuff. But the other one was talking about, you know, Miles Sanders, look how good Miles Sanders was here. And then he went to Carolina and was nothing. And DeAndre Swift came here and had a really good year. And after Detroit was ready to just move on from him. And they were talking about the Eagles have such a good offensive line. Well, I'm not certain the Eagles offensive line is going to be elite this year. I mean, there's question marks. Cam Jurgens has snapped a football in the NFL 43 times. Who's your right guard? Lane Johnson's a year older. So there's a lot of questions there. You can't just assume that it's going to be a top five offensive line anymore. But beyond that, imagine what you could do with that line with a top running back instead of a guy that's just a replacement level player. And so I certainly think it makes the offense a lot better. And particularly a lot of things have come out about this being a Kellen Moore target. And I think that makes sense for a lot of reasons that I'm sure we'll get into.
Yeah. Like I am fully on board that running backs matter so much. I think the problem with running backs, and I would never, and I hate to be mean because I feel bad because a lot of Eagles fans liked him. I would have never paid DeAndre Swift 3 years, $24 million. Like that to me is crazy. Like basically, I'm drafting a running back and I'm running into the ground and then I'm drafting another one. Running backs matter, but like the gap between great and average is so small, but the gap between great and elite is massive. And there is not many elite running backs. Like elite running backs absolutely matter. Christian McCaffrey had the biggest impact on offense of basically any skill position, I think, in the entire league in 2023. Now, I'm not saying Saquon Barkley is Christian McCaffrey, but you know what? He's not miles off it. And when he came out of the league, he was seen as better, essentially. Like, he is absolutely going to change the way the Eagles play, and you don't have to pay him that much. That's the thing that I think you're getting Mooney contracts money-wise, like Gabe Davis money. Like, you're really not paying them that much. I think Howie is all about market inefficiencies. I don't think he's about linebackers don't matter or running backs don't matter. I just think he thinks he can get adequate players at that position for cheaper, essentially. And that's why he does it. And it seemed like we were looking at Swift, but that would be an awful, honestly, the Bears on Monday, like Swift and Byard, I was like, what? Like DeAndre Swift is a complimentary piece. You can find DeAndre Swift in the draft every year. Find an explosive complimentary piece, plan for 4 years, and then get rid of him.
By the way, it's the second year in a row the Bears have immediately signed Eagles players. Fascinating. Last year they announced or they negotiated that TJ Edwards deal in like 6 minutes of legal tampering. This year it was 13 minutes for DeAndre Swift. So just a reminder to everyone that legal tampering, the NFL created a legal tampering period so teams could just start to illegally tampering earlier. But that's a whole aside. I'm not bitter about that. I just think it's really funny.
I just saw the list of like money that Swift's got, like backs that have got more money than Swift guaranteed. And it's just like six foundation backs. Like it's six backs you're not taking off the field. There's no way the Eagles should have paid someone like Miles Sanders, like DeAndre Swift. Those backs are not worth paying. Saquon Barkley is a whole other different level. And you know what? Kenny Gainwell was fine as a back too. Like you can get other good backs. Like to be honest, stats of running backs are really hard as well because I know the stats aren't great. And I watched a bit of 2023 film. I haven't watched loads. And I think injuries have slowed him down. And I think the Eagles need him to get really healthy. But he also plays on an awful team. Like their offensive line, Shane, when I'm watching, was abysmal. But he is a game changer. You find market inefficiencies anywhere. Running backs are underpaid at the top level. That is a market inefficiency. Saquon Barkley for 2 years, 25, 26 or whatever, is nothing. Like you're talking about getting an average wide receiver free at that money. Like as we said, Gabe Davis and Darren Mooney, like that's absurd. Saquon Barkley will have a much bigger impact on the offense. And I get that you can find these guys in the draft easier. And the Eagles could have easily drafted a guy in the third round to replace DeAndre Swift. Yeah, they can easily take another one. You just cannot replace someone like Saquon Barkley. Like there's very few backs that are that good. And it's everything. It's run, it's pass protection, it's catching. It's the whole package. You can do it all. He will make the Eagles offense a hell of a lot less predictable. They won't have to have a certain back to come in on 2 minute drills or a certain back to come in and pass protect. Like they can do anything on any play. He can line up out wide, he can run routes. I watched him on an angle route against Bryce Huff, which is pretty cool, and he murdered him. Like he just walked straight past him essentially. Do you want to talk through some of the stats, anything that really stands out to you? But I'm just excited. Like I love running backs. It sounds really weird because I love paying running backs, but I hate it. I would just only pay about five and I wouldn't pay anyone else. Like I said this to you, and I didn't want to come across too negative, and also because I thought the Eagles might keep him, and then you're like an idiot when you got to cheer him on next year. But I really didn't want them to sign DeAndre Swift. Like I don't know how much that came across when I spoke about him. Like I think in my article, I quite blankly said like 1 year, $6 million. That's about it. Like I did not want any more. Like the fact that he got more than Sanders, I thought he might. But the Sanders deal was ridiculous. In the article that I wrote about Swift, I said 4 years, $27 million is what he's predicted to get. That's the eighth best running back. And I just said, you don't pay him top 10 talent. I wouldn't commit more than $13 million to him. I was looking at like 2 years, 13, 1 year, six, seven. Like if I'm paying backs, I want top. And I think Barkley is top. If it's not that, I'm not paying them. That's just my personal opinion on backs. Tell me through the stats. What do they show? If they show much at all, because stats are hard at running back.
Yeah, stats are hard at running back. I tweeted out a full comparison for last year with Saquon Barkley, DeAndre Swift, and Kenny Gainwell. The main thing to remember is, as Eagles fans pointed out, the Eagles were dealing with one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, two stud wide receivers, and a at times mobile quarterback that waned at times in the year. But Saquon Barkley was the Giants offense. He was running behind a bottom five offensive line with a bottom three quarterback situation and a bottom five wide receiver room. He was the offense. And so his stats don't look great, at least in terms of volume, yards per carry, EPA, all those things. What I do think is interesting, especially comparing him to Swift, he averaged 2.91 yards after contact per attempt. DeAndre Swift averaged 2.44. So he's getting a half a yard more after contact on average than Swift. Also, you can look at next gen stats, his rushing yards over expectation. Barkley averaged 0.39 rushing yards over expectation per attempt. DeAndre Swift averaged negative 0.29 rushing yards over expectation per attempt. So essentially, every time you hand the ball to Saquon Barkley, he's going to get 0.7 of a yard more than DeAndre Swift, according to their modeling. That's significant. And you know, we talked about that last year on film reviews, that DeAndre Swift, he goes down at first contact a lot. And you just don't see that nearly as much with Saquon Barkley. You look at like their broken tackle plus missed tackle rates, and Swift's is higher. It is easier to make guys miss in an open field, and Barkley didn't get a lot of those. But I think the biggest contributions, and the reason this was the Kellen Moore move, is what he can do for you in the passing game. Saquon Barkley was the 7th highest graded pass blocker among running backs by PFF last year. He is not someone you have to take off the field if it's a pass play and you're expecting a blitz. It was such a giveaway last year in how the Eagles would use their running backs with DeAndre Swift and Kenny Gainwell, because Swift cannot pass protect. And Gainwell wasn't great at it. He had a few moments. Barkley is a 3-down back. And it's not just that, but you can use him out of the backfield. And I generally think that's often oversold, right? Like, oh, he's such a good target out of the backfield. Well, that doesn't matter for checkdowns to a running back when you have a mobile quarterback. Hurts is going to want to extend plays and push it downfield more than if he's got a path out of the pocket. I can promise you he's not taking a check down at the line of scrimmage to Saquon. He's going to get out of the pocket and try to connect with A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith 30 yards downfield. And I'm fine with that. But Saquon Barkley had the 2nd highest average depth of target last year at 2.1 yards downfield. Saquon Barkley wasn't used as just a check down. Like, he can run routes downfield. The other one I think was, I can't remember if it was McCaffrey or James Cook. That was higher than him in average depth of target. In terms of target percentage out of the slot, he was 3rd behind Cook and McCaffrey. And so you can put Saquon in the slot. You can run pony personnel, but you could actually have him in the slot and he could actually run routes for you. And so this isn't like full 49ers positionless football, but you could put Gainwell and Saquon on the field at the same time. Put Saquon in the slot, and it's not a giveaway that we're going to motion him into the backfield. Like, we could just run straight drop back passing game there. So I do think he gives you a lot at that. Now, you hope he stays healthy, that burst is there. He's played a lot of games over the last couple years. Obviously had that ACL injury. I think it was three or four years ago. But I think he's going to make the Eagles offense a lot more fun, and he adds just a lot more versatility to what they can do.
Yeah, I think the pass blocking one's the big one. When we looked at Kellen Moore a lot, you know, I watched a lot of Kellen Moore, and he wants to be +1 at all times in pass protection. So running backs will stay in. If teams want to blitz, they will keep backs in. And Barkley's a big back. Like, I think I've not watched too much Barkley, and I think the thing about running back stats is having a good offensive line makes everything easier. Because when you get space, it's so much easier to break tackles when you've got space. Like, it's so much easier to juke a guy when you're 1-on-1 in the open field. I mean, most running backs should be able to do that. It's when your offensive line bad, that's what's harder. Barkley's numbers aren't great. And I'll be honest, watching him, he didn't look like anywhere near as explosive at times as like the first time you ever watched him. But he got handled the ball a lot and he got hit a lot behind the line of scrimmage. And he played for an appalling team. And I don't want to say he wasn't committed, but how much was he really, really investing everything last year? And this is a bit of a controversial thing to say, Shane, and people are going to maybe take this the wrong way. I think the benefit of paying a running back with injury concerns is if they miss time, I don't care that much. I care that when they play, they're healthy. Like, if Barkley plays like 10 games next year, but come playoffs, he's healthy. That's huge. Because although I've gone on about running backs, elite running backs mattering, if you miss Saquon Barkley for a game and they get a good backup in the draft, your offense doesn't fall apart. It's not like losing A.J. Brown. You lose A.J. Brown and your ex-receiver, your entire scheme changes. Like, your playbook changes. You do different things. If you go out a fourth-round running back who's decent and Gainwell and him have to play, they'll survive. Like, they will live. The offense will live. I think you could handle the running back. The running back's just like a luxury in many ways. Like, you can go and find so many good starters. There are so many good players. If the Eagles sign like a Zach Moss, I think he can play. There's about 10 guys in the second or third round of the draft that can play. You can find loads of them. Whereas like an A.J. Brown, you can't really find. Like, there's not many players that can play that role in your offense. Barkley, you can just sub out. Like, if they try and keep him fresh and don't play him as much as people think, fine. I happen to think he'll play a lot when he's healthy, like a lot. But if Gainwell comes in, like, that's not the end of the world. It's a different position running back. But I think he could really, really be special. I think I want to end, Shane. I tweeted just two clips because I haven't finished posting many clips. There are some clips where I questioned his long speed, but I've got to end by showing these two clips because literally, so full disclosure, I downloaded the Jets-Giants game and I was watching Bryce Huff. I was not watching Saquon Barkley at all. But it's my fourth game I've watched of Huff. And as I'm watching him, I'm like, hang on a minute. This is the Eagles guy. Just totally crossed my mind. And then I couldn't stop watching Saquon Barkley. Like, there was about four plays in this game when I was like, oh my goodness, his short area burst and quickness for a guy at 235 or whatever pounds is sort of absurd. So I've just tweeted before we started recording just two clips so we could throw them in there if you can bring them up. And they're the kind of clips that make you say, like, wow. I got a great tweet from somebody, and I wish I could give credit, but I'm sorry, I got too many tweets. I'm sorry. I got 70 replies this yesterday. He said, Saquon Barkley is the kind of guy I would show to my English friends to make them love football. And I was like, that is a wicked tweet. Like, that sort of something. He's just fun as hell to watch. And who doesn't want to watch really, really fun players? Like, yeah, fair enough, except for that tweet, Shane, except for...
This one out. This one made me laugh yesterday. At Alex, I'm not sure how you would say that last name, Nooge, N-O-O-G-E, said, he tweeted out, quote, Saquon with another 10-yard run to put him over the century mark. The Eagles are now in the red zone, and here comes Kenny Gainwell. So we can look forward to Kenny Gainwell watch again this year. So that one made me chuckle yesterday. But here's your thread or your couple of clips from Barkley that you wanted to talk through.
Yeah, I mean, there's not anything to talk through, is there? Like, you haven't got to be an analyst to watch this. Just watch the cut at the second level here. Like, he moves sideways. Remember, he's a big guy. This is not DeAndre Swift. This is not 210, 215. He's a 230-pound back. Like, I'm sure you've all seen the picture of his quads. What was it? Saquon Barkley, whatever they called him when he came out. Like, his legs are huge. And the sideways movement, the agility, that's absurd. And then the second one I think is even better. Like, the jump cut on the second one is like old school Madden, like hold down L2 juke button, like when it's like, oh, that's not real. Like, this move, that is absurd. Like, that's just one of those moves you're like, oh, okay, he's that good. The guy you're playing against is that good. Like, there are what, two running backs in the league that make that play? That's my point about elite running backs doing elite things. Firstly, to get past the first guy, then the second guy. That is creating something out of absolute... I can watch that play all day. Like, the vision... Oh, that second one is ridiculous. I love... Just watch... it's actually Bryce Huff, by the way. Watch Bryce Huff end up on the floor. It's just great. He just face plants the floor. And Bryce Huff is quick. Like, short area quickness. I'm not even blaming Huff there. Like, that's just... that's just pure Saquon Barkley. Like, I'm sure
that's some free agent signing on free agent signing violence.
I loved it. Honestly, I said to you off air, I sat next to my wife last night watching this. And I was like, this is the best game of film I've ever watched because I'm having a great time because I'm just doubling my efficiency, my work week. Like, I'm loving this. I think the Eagles should strategically sign players who play against each other more just to make my well-being better because I greatly enjoyed watching Bryce Huff and Saquon Barkley at the same time. Yeah, it was awesome. Anything final, because we've gone for ages, but I think people know this kind of, we said this off air, people know this kind of podcast by now. We're going to be in depth. Like, that's sort of the point of it. There are loads of podcasts out there. This is sort of our, should we say, niche. We're going to be a little bit more in depth. So we will just get to a couple of players a week. Sometimes we'll do the quick hitters, but I also feel like that's sort of the purpose of this show is to go a little bit more in depth. And they are really interesting players. Both of them are really interesting. I can't say I'm going to go in depth on Devontae Parker next week. If you want the quick summary, he's a big guy, drops too many balls, occasionally makes a great catch, can't separate. There you go. So you don't need to ask me lots of questions about Devontae Parker. But the other players, we'll try and go in more depth next week. But yeah, anything final you wanted to say on either Huff on Barkley, Shane, before we get out of here?
Yeah, no, it's not the direction I would have gone if I was Howie. I would have been targeting the top of the safety market and probably the top, maybe not the top. Jordan Brooks is just a linebacker I really loved. Like, I would have gone after Jordan Brooks, and I would have gone after Cam Curl, Xavier McKinney. Obviously, they got Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, but we'll get into more of that next week. So I'm excited about both of these players. I think people think I was out on the Bryce Huff move because I tweeted, you know, there's legitimate concerns about him, and there is. And I was tweeting clips today and was like, someone was like, did you come around on it? And I was like, well, I'm not anti the move, just pointing out like it's a big swing at a player that's he has not proven it over the long term and you're paying him off of his career year. So there's legitimate concerns on both sides, as there is with any free agency signing. But the Eagles got better yesterday. well, it wasn't yesterday, a couple days ago, with these free agent signings. And like Johnny said, we will cover more of these guys next week, probably more quick hitter fashion. We'll get into Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Devontae Parker, Zach Bond, Matt Hennessy. We'll probably talk Landon Dickerson extension. And, you know, maybe we'll have an edge rusher trade or a linebacker trade or something else into the mix. So tune back in next week to another episode of the Shane Page. We'll break down anything that happens between now and then, and we'll circle back and cover some of these second tier free agents that the Eagles signed. But that's going to do it for this episode. Again, if you enjoy the show, if you're with us on March 13th in the middle of free agency, be sure you give us 5-star rating and review on podcasting platforms. Thumbs up on the YouTube video. We really appreciate your guys' comments and reviews. So keep those coming. And we will catch you next week for another episode of On the Shane Page.